The Lord be with you.
It
is good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning that he has given us this beautiful day. In our prayers this morning, in addition to those that you've seen in the grace notes, we pray for Tom Micone's brother Larry having surgery today. Also for Janet Jameson to have surgery later this week as well. The service is before you. We'll follow that. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. The writer to the Hebrews knows his sports. Athletes were superstars in the first century world. Sporting events drew huge crowds, much like today. And so he knew the images. Chiseled athletes, a packed stadium, cheering fans, runners straining to the finish line, diving for the victor's crown. And back then, athletes ran gymnos, naked. So you need to know that to understand why and what the writer means when he says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Another way it's been translated is, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Today's athletes usually wear skin-tight spandex and specially designed shoes for much the same reason: aerodynamics and speed, nothing to slow you down, nothing to hinder you. So think back to the last track meet you saw or the Tour de France. The racers are exhausted. They're driving for the finish line. They're giving it all they've got. They're looking beyond the pain and the cramps and the suffering to the glory of the finish line. Now picture yourself running the race that is set before you, your life. At the finish line, that great cloud of witnesses, the saints and the martyrs who've run the race before you, some of them you know, most of them you've never met, but they're on their feet, they're cheering you home across the finish line. They know what the race is like. They've already run it. And they're just on the other side of reality this morning, gathered around the eternal altar that we approach ever so briefly. Now, you can push that analogy too far. You can push it in the wrong direction too, because they aren't looking down on us like Grandpa from the Family Circus cartoon. Because really, what would you rather see? The struggles of this life, or the face of our Lord for eternity? Also, we aren't running the race naked. We run the race wrapped in Jesus' righteousness. And it is Jesus who is there at the finish line, waiting to greet you, victor's crown in hand, reminding you that the outcome has always been, it is finished, and urging you to believe it. He saw his cross coming, but he looked beyond it, and he endured it. Why? Because he saw the joy of your salvation, the joy of freeing you from bondage to sin, the joy of handing you your life completed and perfected in him. You were the joy set before him that he endured the cross and scorned its shame. And the cross was a terrible shame. It was considered cursed to hang naked on a tree. And Jesus' nakedness was the shame of your sin, the shame of Adam, who hid his nakedness in the bushes of the garden so that God had to clothe him properly with an innocent death. A picture of your life in Jesus. So fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus Christ crucified for you. Don't fix your eyes on yourself. Don't fix your eyes on all the silly religions of the world, not even on your own sin. Turn away from all of that. Cast it all aside. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who is the beginning and the end of the faith we confess. But don't lose sight of the race image this morning. Runners straining for the finish line. In one sense, the race is already over in Christ because he has already died and is risen and is glorified. But in another sense, the race goes on. The Christian life is a race to the finish line of death and resurrection. And it's no 100-yard dash. It's an ultra marathon. It's a grueling, seemingly endless run that involves perseverance and hardship and endurance and discipline and training and focus. And as baptized believers, children of God who have already been made holy in the death of Jesus, put away whatever gets in the way and run the race that God has set before you. Strip off all of the excess baggage of your idolatries and your greed and your self-centeredness. Tear off your immoralities and your perversions and your lusts. Set aside your love for riches or for power or for self-control or the anger that you hold. Run your race clothed in Jesus, wrapped in him. Run the race looking to the one thing needful, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you. But you say, I can't do that. I'm out of shape. I'm flabby. I'm a sinner. And God says, wrong. I declared you a saint. I buried your sin in the tomb of Jesus. He's already dealt with it. He bore your sin and your guilt, and it is gone. The writer to the Hebrews heard the grumblings in his own congregation. And so he says, you think you have it so hard. You haven't even shed a drop of blood for the cause of Christ. Think of all of those martyrs who've gone before, all of the people who were beheaded or fed to the beasts or burned alive, who could have escaped all of that simply by saying, Jesus isn't God. And today, think of our Christian brethren around the world, those who live under Muslim Sharia, the underground body of believers in China, those staunchly Orthodox believers in the nations of Africa. Some of the greatest and the fastest growing churches in the world are in Africa, Eastern Europe, places of poverty and hardship, because they're tough. They're disciplined believers. They're cut and chiseled like spiritual athletes. And we, generally speaking, are flabby and spoiled and out of shape. Spiritual couch potatoes, you could say. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. That's hard to hear in our soft, undisciplined culture. Our God is a loving father who loves his children, who gave his only begotten son to die for his children, who wants the very best for them. And so he disciplines you. And he doesn't ask you how you want to be disciplined either. So what do you think is a good punishment for this? No, he simply lays his firm hand on your lives and you feel it. The psalmist says, your hand was heavy upon me. So that stress that you feel that keeps you awake at night, that rests heavily on you throughout the day, it's not about job stress. It's not about needing a vacation. It's about sin and all the ways that we try to justify and bargain and play games with God's word and try and wiggle out of it on our own. It's the hand of God fighting against the sin and the old Adam within us, breaking us down bit by bit. But he also rebuilds. That hand of discipline is anything but pleasant. But it's there for good reason. God our Father wants you to share in his holiness. He's training you for it. He's shaping you to be what you already are in Christ. He wants you to experience the fullest joy of your salvation. We have the Holy Spirit. We are baptized believers. And the Spirit produces fruit, joy, and love, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And so Jesus told his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. My Father's the vine dresser who prunes every branch that it may be even more fruitful. Pruning means loss and discipline. It means training and pain and injury and endurance. And don't say, I can't do it, because it isn't you who does it. You're dead for all intents and purposes, and your life is hidden with God in Christ, and it is Christ who lives in you to do what pleases God. So when you say, I can't do that, you're saying Christ can't do that, but if Christ can be raised from the dead, he can do anything he wants. And so St. Paul was sitting in a dark and dingy Roman prison cell with the smell of death all around him, hardly the picture of victory. Yet, he wrote these words to young Timothy. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He saw the finish line. He heard the cheers of the crowd. So run the race before you. You cannot lose. The victory is already yours. So fix your eyes on Jesus and nowhere else. Run unhindered, for you are forgiven, and the victor's crown awaits you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.